The Big Wedding Planning Podcast.
Just two wedding planners tearing it up. Listen, learn, plan that wedding. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, a show for anyone involved in planning a wedding. We want you to learn something valuable and be entertained. At the same time, my name is Michelle Martinez.
And I'm Christine Matthews. Thank you for joining us. Hello. It's good to be back. Kind of feels like we're back. We haven't recorded just the two of us in a while.
Yeah, that's weird, right?
Like, for listeners, they know every end of the month episode is going to be us. But for us, sometimes there's a lot more recording in between.
And also, you and I, like, you and I always at least text at least two times a day, I would say. And this weekend was crazy for me because we moved to this house. So I'm in a new house now. And so I felt really weird, like disconnected from you, like, what's going on with Christy? Because I was so freaked. Like, you know how it is when you move? You're just like, you don't, the day just goes. The days just go.
Yes.
And you're unpacking, and my hands are all dry from touching boxes and like the packing
yes.
paper, you know?
Cardboard. Also, you lose your phone a lot.
Oh,
not
my
you,
God.
But like anybody with I remember that feeling of being like looking at a room full of half unpacked boxes and paper and tape and trash and stuff and being like, where the fuck is my phone? Like, I was just in here on the floor and now I don't know where it is. So I knew you were busy and disconnected. I think sometimes our text threads are like one person texts seven times in a row.
Yes.
And then the other person will be back like confirmed or yes.
Yeah. We should talk about this wedding stuff.
Yeah. Wah. Yeah, it's a packed Yawa today because
it's always packed. It's always packed.
We feel extra lucky because we got voicemails.
Oh my, people, you are calling, which is amazing.
You calling callers.
You creepy voicemailers.
Several times you've actually called or we've gotten calls when we're working on our super top secret project together.
Yeah.
And the little chime will go off on Michelle's computer and we'll be like, oh, someone's calling us. Like, how fun would it be if one of these days we just answer and we're like, you're on
no.
with Christy and Michelle.
Hi, caller number one. Go ahead. So housekeeping items. First off, we need to talk about our new Patreon members and thank them by name.
Yes.
So I will call them out. Because
you know who you are.
You know who you are. And those who have been Patreon members for a long time, thank you so much. Thank you so, so, so much. And our new Patreon members, thank you so much to Megan L., Allison H., Alyssa B., Amber W., Alexandra L., and Megan H. Hey, what are all
They're
these
all
A
A's.
Names? And two
A's and Megans.
And two Megans. Look at that, ma'am.
I believe I've emailed them all back directly the day that they became patrons as well to say thank you and welcome and here's what to expect. So if you didn't hear from me directly in an email and you're a patron, just shoot me another email and I'll make sure to
and be like,
send that to you.
But WTF,
I'm 99% sure I did. What? I'm 99% sure I did. But now that I see all these names that are kind of the same name, I'm like, did I?
I think I sent an email to a Megan.
Yeah, I think I did.
Side note, I have a really good friend in Boston named Megan. And have we talked about this before? She says that I say her name like Megan, like egg. Actually, she says I said egg wrong too. And it should be Megan.
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 Like
Megan, Megan. Yeah, I could see how.
Megan. And I say Megan.
Yeah.
And Megan.
It's Megan.
Megan's Megan. My friend.
Megan.
So,
yeah.
Like legs. I say legs. And she's like, legs. And I'm like, what?
Now I'm going to notice it.
But now you're now. So next time you say it, I'm going to notice. I'm going to see how you say it. Anyway, Megan, all you A names. You all are amazing. Thank you so, so, so much.
It matters. We can't really stress that enough.
Matters, it matters, you all. And we're about
to make a big difference.
Record an awesome bonus episode for all you Patreon members. So get ready for that. That one's going to be good. So they're small, they're bonus, but they are usually pretty informative, or kind of just like, you know, some behind the scenes stuff with Christy and I. So anywho's, this one's going to be, I think, informative. I think this is going to be a good bonus episode this month. So stay tuned for that.
And now reviews. I pulled just two reviews from this month because one of them, well, both of them are so lovely, but one of them we did share on our Instagram story because it was really wonderful. But also we want to say that when we get these reviews, they're so heartening for us. Like, we really take it to heart in the truest way. And this one that Michelle's about to read from Eileen.podcast is so, it was kind of the words we needed to hear at the right time. These two reviews really helped us get a little encouragement that we're on the right track. So thank you. You want to read it?
Yes. 5 stars, titled Wedding Podcast That's Not Removed from Reality. And this is Eileen.podcasts. Really appreciate that this podcast not only covers wedding issues in depth, but also integrates values of inclusivity, justice, and introspection. This podcast has really helped me understand the impact of our wedding decisions. For example, the environment, my budget, relationships, discriminatory systems, etc. I particularly appreciated your increasing attention to anti-Black racism in the wedding industry. And she notes the episode numbers, Christine, 153, 200, and 204. And other forms of discrimination, which specifically impacted how my partner and I approach wedding planning, researching history of slavery / modern oppression at potential venues, booking vendors that do not just represent / advertise straight, white, able-bodied couples, being purposeful about who our money is supporting. I think this is a strength of this podcast and hope that you do more to improve how the podcast addresses these issues in the future. You two are also so fun and explain wedding topics in a way that's engaging, understandable, and not at all condescending.
What about that made you... Because you, I sometimes get to the reviews first, sometimes you do, but it had been a while since you had like shot me a review so excited and since you shared it on stories. What about that was like landed?
I mean, we've gotten lots of beautiful reviews and they're heartfelt and they've even brought tears. I feel like there's so much going on in the world right now. And yeah, we're talking about weddings and that's a very small, you know, part of life, but it's a huge one. And I think that it just selfishly makes me feel good that we are bringing these conversations out to people as they're planning a wedding.
If we feel like we had a small part in somebody making decisions around wedding planning, a small spark of inspiration or like seeing the world in a slightly, just a little bit of a bigger way, that small decision, you know, it's like a ripple effect and it makes us feel like there's purpose also in what we're doing. And that feels really great. So thank you. It is important to us to hear. And we see that she said, I hope you do more to improve the podcast addressing these issues. We see that. We hear that, and we are going to. In fact, I know we have 2 episodes coming up that both are pretty eye-opening, and I just had an onboarding call with a bride who's big. She wanted to have the biggest, queerest wedding of 2020. That was in the New York Times title for her wedding coverage, and talking to her and kind of explaining to her the mission of our podcast about opening people's minds and how wedding planning can be an inherently self-centered time of your life.
Yes.
It just, by nature, it can be. Yes. It's all about like our wedding, our problems, our party, our plans. I'm dealing with all of this. It's about our love. We talk about that. There's nothing wrong with that. We say like, this is about you. And I was telling this woman that I was doing the onboarding call with, who's going to be a guest, like, it's really important to Michelle and I, and it always has been, that we are able to open people's minds a little bit to what's a little bit beyond regular wedding planning stuff, mm-hmm. somebody else's perspective, why weddings are important to different communities and why that could mean something to you, and how other couples and other vendors express or help couples to express their love on their wedding day their way. That can be really eye-opening, and we take that responsibility really seriously. So we don't ever want to just rest on our laurels and like pump out like basic wedding planning stuff that you could find anywhere. So reviews like this, long story short, really help us and keep us on the right track and motivate
us. And hold us accountable too. You know, like,
yeah.
Anyway, thank you for picking up what we're putting down, Eileen. And thank you for this review. I mean, it's really, really detailed, and you took a lot of time, and we greatly appreciate it.
The other review I pulled was early October, Ultimate Productivity from Liz, 5 stars. I started listening a month ago as soon as I got engaged. So far, we have booked our venue, caterer, month of planner, photographer, rental company, and florist. A month ago, pretty good. There's no way we would have been able to do this without Christy and Michelle. From navigating COVID to knowing what questions to ask the vendors, they have it all. Much love to you, ladies.
Oh my God. Much love to you. And damn, girl, if you're a girl,
we're proud of you.
Holy crap, you did a lot in a month. That's amazing. So great. Thank you for that review. And good luck to you. Keep us updated, both of you awesome peeps. And everybody else who left a review.
Okay. Now I'm looking at our topics. We have an email about sending save the dates, and then also like personal invitations to wedding party members and when to hire. And that's all in the age of COVID and when you push your wedding to 2021 or 22. We also have an email about after parties, and we have 2 voicemails. We have not discussed writing your own ceremony, like the script, like your vows. Maybe you're asking a friend to be your officiant. If any of these things are questions that you have or issues for you, we highly suggest unboringofficient.com/bigwedding. Unboring Efficient is a professional efficient in Canada named Mark, our friend. We love what he's doing. He offers an online program to help you or your efficient write the entire ceremony so that it goes off without a hitch. And he offers our listeners a huge discount on this course. So it teaches your efficient step by step how to deliver a kick-ass wedding ceremony.
Yes. So this is a great gift for you to give that loved one or that special person who's going to be officiating your ceremony. Go to unboringofficient.com/bigwedding or go to our website to the partners page, and you'll see Unboring Efficient right there for you.
Okay, first email. Here we go. I'll read the email because Michelle answered both of these this week. Woo. We're switching it up. Hi, Michelle and Christy. First, I just want to say that I recently discovered your podcast and I'm really enjoying listening to you guys. You make the process a bit less stressful and a lot more enjoyable, so thank you. I have a question for you. Sorry if this has been covered. I mean, at this point, right, Michelle? Everything's been covered and recovered, but that's what these episodes are all about. My partner and I recently got engaged, and I haven't announced it yet. We've only told family at this point. He would rather wait until we have the ring bought before we announce, which sounds reasonable to me. While we had originally wanted a big fall 2021 wedding, we decided that won't be possible with all the COVID reschedulings. So instead, we decided to do 1, a small wedding in 2021 with just family, and 2, a larger event and reaffirmation of vows ceremony in fall 2022. That's such a long way off, but with the current rescheduling climate, we realized we needed to actually start booking pretty soon for the 2022. My question is, since the booking timeline is already so sped up from normal years, should we also plan to speed up other parts of the planning? So for instance, should we plan to send save the dates even earlier than normal? So further out than 12 months? Should I get my wedding party on board ASAP? Etc. It feels so early, almost absurdly so, to be worrying about these things, but I also know that there's already a high demand going into 2022. Anyway, thanks for your advice. And she looks forward to hearing more. And then you answered.
I answered. So this is a really good question, and it's been popping up a lot. I think people are getting a little confused, and not that wedding planning isn't already in and of itself a big, like, am I doing this right? But now we're like, woo, planning way out in advance, some of you, hoping that that's a safe time for COVID, depending on the state you live in. So we're getting a lot of these questions, and I wrote, the best way to answer this is to speed up the parts of planning that you feel might be threatened by other people speeding up their planning. For example, those really important vendors, right? And the good ones, your caterer, your photographer, your venue, all of those professional services that are a high priority to you and your partner. Book those as soon as you're able to. So that might be the part you kind of do a little sooner than maybe normally you would have. Just simply because those professionals or services might get booked up and then you'll have less to choose from, if that makes sense. Now, that being said, some wedding professionals might not even book that far in advance. And if they don't, that's fine. But at least inquire. And if they tell you to check back in 6 months, put it on your calendar and get back in touch with them. Save the dates. You can send them out now, but really that's like 2 years away. And I think it's overkill. I would wait a while. This reminds me of a Seinfeld episode when he's like, what is this? Save the dates. What is this? Invitations. Why are we doing all of this? I was cracking up, but... I would wait a while. Like at the very earliest, wait till you're a year and a half out. But who the hell knows? Who the hell of us knows what we're doing in 2 years, right? Christy, you said that I think last month on Yawa.
Yeah, like, exactly. I got one of my weddings moved to 2022 and they were like, we'd still love you to be the planner. And I was like, I don't know, you guys.
Yeah.
And that's just me being like, I can't even tell you what I'm doing next week with certainty. So there is no certainty. That is removed. I do agree with you that you can move forward booking professionals, but in terms of informing guests, I would put that off as long as possible because if you start to inform them now, you're going to have to continually re-inform them as you go. Like once you open the floodgates to that, you'll be in communication with guests, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, you're going to, and a lot of them are verbally going to know anyway. Like you're going to be chit-chatting with people and you don't need to send out a save the date. It's just too early.
Yeah, it's impossible to save a date that far in advance for anybody that is a guest and not the actual people getting married. I mean, it's almost impossible for you to do it.
So there you go. Thank you for your question. All right, so let's go to our first voicemail on this episode of Yawa from Chelsea.
Hi, guys. My name is Chelsea, and I'm newly engaged and a new listener to your podcast. The very first episode of yours that I listened to was the Wedding Planning While Black episode, and I wanted to give you guys kudos on featuring a Black bride on the show. I'm a Black bride, and during the beginning of my planning process, I started noticing the lack of diversity within the industry and really appreciated hearing it acknowledged and addressed on your podcast. Anyway, my question is about venue-exclusive wedding planners. My fiancé and I have already hired a wedding planner to come on as our initial, like, getting started planner to help with securing the venue, providing us the timeline, and helping us with just the first few steps in the process. Our intention is to bring her on fully after our search if it's a good fit, but we really like her and we connected pretty quickly. However, one of the venues we have our sights on only allows for their exclusive planner for a month of minimally. I'm wondering, should we X this venue off the list since we'd have to go with another planner? Or should we at least interview the exclusive planner first to see if we could even imagine ourselves working with someone else? We love the venue that it, we're seeing with our current planner, and we don't have a lot of options with our criteria due to, like, our wedding vision and it being centered around food and the venue. So should we see this other venue first before all our other venues, as we don't have very many, or should we use it as a backup in case our venue and current wedding planner aren't a good match? We also want to know if we should let our current planner in on the situation. Thanks for all you guys do. I can't wait to have you guys as my unofficial guides for the next 18 months of planning my wedding, and I look forward to hearing more with you guys this year.
Okay, this is interesting. This is a little bit of a dilemma.
Yeah, it's a conundrum.
Conundrum, yes. And Chelsea, thank you for sending us this voicemail. We love hearing listeners' voices, and I think it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to hear you. So this is interesting. So this is a plan. Say, I've never done this type of package.
See, I have a getting started. I have done a getting started package for a few couples, and some it did turn into more planning, but some it didn't. That was all they needed, and they knew what they needed. So I wrote back to Chelsea because she sent an email as well, and said that all she's committed to thus far is that getting started package. So she's not cheating on anybody by, you know, looking into the particular venue, which I know can feel stressful, especially if you really like your planner that she, and it sounds like she really does. And I told her she can also be transparent about it. And that if she's going to see the venue that has the planner included, like contracted, then know that going into it, you know, like only see it if you're okay with that potential that you'll fall in love with it and then want to move forward with the venue, which would include the planner. There's no point in going to see a house, you know, to buy it if it's literally you're not going to buy it. It just gets your hopes up. So I wanted her to go into the venue site visit with the right mindset. And I wanted her to keep us posted. So we actually did get an email back and she told us what the update was. Do you want me to read that?
Yeah.
So after receiving the response, they did decide to move forward and schedule a tour with the venue. That includes the exclusive wedding planner. However, we tried reaching out directly to this exclusive planner to set up an interview and get a sense of her, and she would just refer us back to the venue without answering any questions. The venue coordinator, which is different than the planner, after taking our basic info, then took more than a week to get back to us with a quote and confirmation of our site tour. So she took information over the phone, and then it took a week just to get back about the site tour date and time. I was a little miffed, but we figured, what the hell, the venue is so perfect that we might as well look at it. In that time, our original getting started planner had been all over it with answering my admittedly type A questions and has just continued all around to give me good vibes. Okay. We decided that we weren't going to see the venue with the exclusive planner unless our scheduled venues were all crap and our chemistry with our wedding planner was just smoke and mirrors. We highly doubt that'll be the case. But we're a little bummed that it's just not meant to be at that location, which we absolutely adored. Price-wise, we think it'll end up working out to be about the same if we go with another venue and have to get the vendor team in place. Originally, we thought that maybe the venue that has all the exclusive vendors would be a little bit cheaper, but that's not the case. So we do feel really confident moving on with our current choices. So all that to say, they decided not to go to the venue that includes the exclusive vendors and exclusive planner because they really liked their planner and they didn't like the communication of the other one. And those are red flags. She said, it's been quite a whirlwind for this first few weeks of planning, but I've moved from the, quote, venue panic phase to the sticker shock phase. That said, I've completely internalized all of you guys' advice to go with our gut on things. And since having the right planner is just as important as the venue, we know in the end we'll be better off. Thanks for your help being a Bay Area bride. When I'm listening to the podcast, I feel like it's my friends talking me through all the details of wedding planning.
Oh, she's a Bay Area bride, Chelsea.
Yep.
Hi. I'm a Bay Area planner.
So how cool is that she trusted her gut this early on?
Yeah, I think it's great. And we've talked about this before. And I feel like I answered an email recently of someone else who was asking about a venue specifically that had an exclusive planner. Or we were talking about it maybe on Instagram Live. But it's always a toss. It's always like a chance, right? Because while the venue might have a great relationship with that planner, and maybe because that planner has done so many weddings in the past at that venue, you know, it doesn't mean that you will, and it doesn't, and 9 times out of 10, that venue is paying that planner a lot less than that planner might get paid from an individual couple such as yourselves. And so to that point, she didn't answer your email directly. She said, go talk to the venue. They're doing all this. I just show up on the, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I do the minimum for the small amount of money I'm getting paid.
Right.
Sometimes, some cases it's not like that, but you never know. And so I think it was really great that you reached out to the planner directly before deciding to see the venue, because obviously the communication before you even get there is not great. And that's usually when people should be on point.
You learned that. Like, that's how they would do it. You wouldn't probably be directing questions to the planner. You'd be directing them through the venue. That's how they do things. And that's not ideal for you. So it's really good that you did that.
Yeah. And I mean, some people don't have the budget. You know what I mean? Like, they have to go with whoever the venue has. And that's fine. You're going to be covered to a certain extent, you know, either way. But I think that it's so important to have a connection and feel good and feel like you're getting good communication with the professionals you're working with, especially your planner. So I feel like you made the right choice. I do. I know the venue looked pretty online and you loved it, but like, you could love it all you want. If it's not going to work out well for you and it's going to cause you stress, you know, during the planning process and potentially on your wedding day.
Now with all the back and forth, you know, couples have to do with their venue and their vendors about rules and guidelines and changes and reschedules. So communication is really key and should be one of the top priorities when hiring. And now we have a question for you. Yes. Do you need a ring? Is that the question?
A men's ring?
A men's ring. Do you need one? You might, and if you do, we have a suggestion, and that is our sponsor for this episode, Alpine Rings. We love Alpine Rings. We love that they're our sponsor, and they're offering you a discount on the men's wedding bands, 15% site-wide. All of the bands that are available at alpinerings.com are available to get the 15% discount on. And if you do the promo code BIGWEDDING15, then they'll know that you heard about them on our podcast.
Yeah, that's important. BIGWEDDING15, alpinerings.com, 15% off. They are a veteran-owned wedding ring company offering a wide selection of men's wedding bands and authentic and rustic wood accents and inlays. They have free 2-day shipping, free exchanges, and a 1-year warranty. And we are very proud that they have continued to sponsor us during this time. And we're proud to partner with them. And they're offering you all 15% off site-wide off of their already awesome prices. So go to alpinerings.com, choose a band or 2 or 7, and use promo code BIGWEDDING15, that's BIGWEDDING15, at checkout. Thank you, Alpine Rings.
Alpine Rings. Now we have a second voicemail, and we want to shout out this listener, Casey, who was a patron member. She helped us. She gave us feedback on some stuff that we were putting out on Patreon platform, and she's been super supportive, and we just love her so much. And she got married, and then she sent us a retrospective. So it's a two-part voicemail. So it's a little bit long, but that's because she had a lot of awesome information and advice to share.
Yeah, so, Casey, just spewing out all the good shit right here for you. So listen up.
Hi, Christy and Michelle. This is Casey from Minneapolis, Minnesota. I wanted to thank you both so much for sharing your knowledge through the podcast. You both have helped me so much more than you could know, and I thought I'd give you a ring and share some lessons learned, and hopefully my experience might provide some knowledge for other couples going through this at a crazy time that we all live in right now. As a recap, in case you end up using this on the podcast, here is some background on our wedding. My fiance, now husband Jordan, and I got married on September 26th. Jordan proposed in August of 2019, and we were almost done planning when the pandemic hit. Our original wedding plan was September 26, 2020, at a city-owned venue with 100 guests. The ceremony would have been outdoor terrace with an indoor reception. However, in July, when things were not looking better, we decided to rethink our plans to fit the new Minneapolis gathering restrictions. Our original venue would have now only allowed for 25% capacity, which would have worked out to about 40 guests. So after some consideration and tears, we decided we didn't feel comfortable with hosting a party, even partially indoors. And then we decided to cancel the outdoor Minneapolis park venue. And luckily for us, we were able to get a full refund and book a new ceremony in another park that had a beautiful sheltered area outside in case of rain. We held the reception in my parents' backyard and followed the gathering restrictions of only 25 people, which meant we had to uninvite a lot of guests. The hardest ones for me were uninviting two of my bridesmaids who lived out of state and would have had to fly in. A few other precautions we took were asking people to wear masks, renting like fancy trailer toilets, renting a huge tent for the reception, and catering dropped off all the food and everyone served themselves from the buffet. My biggest takeaway is, yes, the DIY flowers really do take a long time. We spent only $300 in flowers by going to the farmer's market on Friday before the wedding on Saturday. And we were hoping to pick up pre-made bouquets and then just put them in vases. But there was only one seller with bouquets on Friday. So we had to go to Market Flowers next door, where you can get cut flowers in bulk at basically wholesale prices. And it took my maid of honor and myself 5 hours to put together everything. The bridal bouquet, 3 bridesmaids' bouquet, my mom's bouquet, Jordan's stepmom's bouquet, 10 boutonnieres, 10 vases of flowers for centerpieces and other tables, and then all the leftover flowers we zip tied to the tent posts. And yeah, it was a lot of work. To keep going with a couple more reflections, I asked Jordan what he would have changed. And of course he said the things that were out of our control, which was COVID, the weather, it had started raining as soon as the reception started, and a few tech issues that came up. His biggest takeaway was, don't have the groom be the AV guy. He had come up with this plan to stream the ceremony using a rented video camera and then to pipe it through to YouTube as the streaming service. Doing it this way would allow us to save the video to the camera directly and then have a nicer one for our, I guess, file later on. However, 5 minutes before the ceremony started, he realized that the recording wasn't actually going through the camera, so he had to end the stream, which meant he had to set it up basically all over again and send out a new stream link, which is not what you want the groom having to deal with 5 minutes before the ceremony. So he was a little bit stressed out. But now we have it saved, and it worked out really well and the audio turned out great and everyone said they really enjoyed seeing it. We also, you reminded me this in a recent Yawa, you talked about having alone time right after the ceremony. We were able to do this. We stopped at a brewery and just sat on the patio with a beer, and we called both sets of Jordan's uncles who had lived out of state and weren't able to come. So it was a nice way where we got to include other family, but we also had our own little special time together to take it all in. Plus, we got comped some free beer, and lots of strangers wished us congratulations, which was fun. Overall, we had a great day. We felt the love and support from our family and friends who were there and those who also watched remotely. We felt very lucky to be able to celebrate in these strange times and to have vendors who we trusted and were so supportive as we needed to scale back. And I think that's a huge lesson in all this, is to choose vendors who align with your values. And if you are kind and patient with your team, they will do their best to give that back to you. And you guys really taught me that. I feel like you always reiterate that, and it's something I've internalized, and I hope that helps other people too. You guys are awesome, and I'm so excited for all the big things you've got coming in the future. Thanks so much. Bye.
Oh, Casey, that was amazing.
I definitely teared up a little bit listening to her. I'm not sure why. I was thinking, like, it's because I'm so happy for her that she had this wedding day. Like, it was at the end when she started to talk about, you know, in the end, this is how we felt about it. But it's also just like hearing a friend, you know, because we've been in contact with her so much. So I think, that's really awesome.
I think that, like, when I hear you all saying, like, I did this because you guys told, you know, said it in the episode, or that you guys reiterate this a lot, like, I feel like a little bit of a fairy godmother, and I feel like you all are my little children a little bit, you know, like, and I'm like, oh, look at you. You did it. So thank you for that. And that's why you're tearing up because you're a sap. Christy,
I know,
because you cry all the freaking time, but that's
it's
okay.
True. It's more lately than usual. Like, I don't know. It's the whole world, you guys.
Someone's a little hormonal. I don't know. No, that's sweet. I'm glad you cry. That's good. So those are really great tips, and I hear you, girl, on the flowers, and I hear you on your man being AV.
AV.
No bueno, yes. No bueno. for future people, have someone else handle the streaming for you. And remember, that's a service that I do. What else? What else? The notes. Oh, so, I wrote back to her, right?
Yeah, I think we both did. Yeah. There was several.
Oh, yeah, you did too?
So, and I'm writing her right now to thank her again because she sent photos. So I know I have those scheduled coming up as well.
Oh, okay, good.
So beautiful, and I love them. I wrote that uninviting guests is something I think most couples are struggling with, especially with multiple reschedules and plans that you've included the guests on. And then when the final word comes down that you actually need to uninvite some, it's just hard. I think a lot of couples are struggling with, like, guilt about that and how to communicate it well without making anybody feel less than, especially when you're having some people attend. So it's a gray area that we are hearing a lot about that. And I know it's a struggle. It sounds like it all worked out for Casey. But we've heard from, you know, Michelle, was it last Yawa that we answered the email when the bride had to kind of uninvite some aunts?
Oh, yeah.
And then that got really, like, ugly and became, like, family drama. Yeah. So I just wanted to recognize that it's a difficult part of all of this. It comes with being a person planning your wedding in 2020 in the age of COVID and all that that brings. And it's a hard part, and there's not a ton of, like, good tangible advice that we can give other than you have to make the decisions that are hard and also right for you.
Yeah, 100%. And I think you did it all lovely. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, you all are married. You did an excellent job. You worked your little tushies off, mm-hmm. and you deserve all the happiness. And we are so happy that we were able to help you out as well. So thank you so much for taking the time. I'm sure you wrote a lot of notes and put a lot of thought into what you wanted to say in terms of your retrospective and the lessons learned for our listeners. We really appreciate that contribution, Casey. Thank you.
Oh, and we also both thought that getting a beer at a brewery that you can just sit outside is
that was
absolutely
such
a, awesome.
Oh yeah, I did write her about that because I was like,
yeah, we're
what
so glad you did.
Good
that.
Idea for your alone time to stop at a brewery, girl.
Yeah,
I love a good IPA. Okay, a good
very good
IPA.
Idea.
So good idea. That's amazing, and that people are like, congratulations. That's super cute. It's always good to go out in public on the street in your wedding dress. You know, people love it.
People do love it. Mm-hmm. You're bringing like some happiness. I love it. Everyone loves it.
I think you and
can't
I need
not
to,
love it.
I think you and I need to go get some wedding dresses.
And just walk around. And just like get positive attention.
I mean, Christy, we should.
We could bring a mic and be like, tell us about your wedding.
Yeah.
People would just come up to us and start telling us about their weddings if they saw us in a wedding dress with a mic.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, we're going to... I mean, we might need to get on Amazon and order something. Because I'm all about, it's crazy. You can get a wedding dress on Amazon, you guys. Okay? It's awesome. If we have been helping you plan your wedding, consider helping us keep this podcast going by becoming a Patreon member.
As a patron, you get more Michelle, more me, and more wedding planning help. We release bonus episodes, newsletters, we host Zoom parties, and much more.
Join the TBWPP Patreon party and help support your favorite podcast. Go to patreon.com/thebigweddingplanningpodcast or visit our website and click on Patreon. Thank you. Okay, so those are awesome voicemails. So we have one more email, yes, to read?
Yes.
Okay.
And you answered it, so I'll read it.
Okay.
Hello, beautiful ladies. We should note that we love a good email greeting. Flattery will get you everywhere.
Oh, thank you.
I've been loving all the advice and tips you drop in your episodes. The Yawas are my favorite. You guys are too fun. Anyway, I know you're wedding planners, and obviously you're focused on the wedding, but do you have any advice or tips on an after party? My wedding is at an outdoor venue, and because of the noise ordinance, we can't go past 10 p.m. I'm a little old lady at heart, so I'm usually ready for bed at that time, but it's my wedding, and I already know I'm not
Sounds
going
like you,
to want
Christy.
The night to end. True. So she doesn't want the night to end at 10 p.m., so what do you usually see people do for after parties? Our venue is a little far from any hotels, so I'm not sure what the best place would be for an after party. Also, how do we let our guests know about it? And will guests expect us to provide food and drinks at an after party too? Thanks for always being fun and informative.
Okay. After parties are super fun. But I'm always dead. I think I actually participated in two after parties total in my whole, you know, long ass career here. One was at a Ritz-Carlton hotel in Half Moon Bay.
Fancy.
Well, but the couple was super fun. Britt, she's amazing. We still keep in touch. They live in Vegas now. Okay. They're fun. So I said that the only thing I can recommend that's kind of an easy, no matter where you're having the wedding or where you are, is to find a bar somewhere that's not too far from the venue. And you should call the bar and, you know, kind of chat or go there one day and let them know in advance that you're showing up, just to kind of give them the heads up. And then just let your guests know that after the wedding, you're planning on going to this bar and hanging out there and that you would love to party with them there. You do not have to pay for drinks or food if you do this informally in that way. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like if you're not sending out an invitation and saying, well, please join us at, you know, Chuck's, you know, bar and grill, but rather like put it on your wedding website, shoot a text. If you've got your Facebook group, put a post, be like, hey, you all, like, we're going to be here. Would love to see you. Come have a drink. If you want to do a round of drinks, then go for it. That's always nice to do like one round mm-hmm. of drinks. And again, you'll want to ask, yeah, you know, friggin'
do a
shots.
Shot for everybody.
One shot for everybody and the rest you're on your own.
Yeah.
And just ask the bar in advance, like, how can you do that? Like, what's the best way? Should you just give them your credit card? Some places like to do like drink tickets, like whatever it is. And you could do that if you want to, just to kind of start things off. But other than that, I've seen people rent banquet rooms at hotels if it's a smaller mm-hmm. group, like and you can kind of do that at the last minute with your venue coordinator and just be like, hey, do you guys have any open banquet rooms that night? Like, is it possible for us to just sneak in somewhere? And can you give me a good price? Or the hotel
also
bar.
Big suites.
Big suites. That's what we did at the Ritz-Carlton. But, you know, you got to be kind of careful because if your people get crazy. But, you know, again, let your venue – if you're getting married at a hotel, let your venue coordinator know. Like, give us a big suite. Like, we want to have a few friends over after the wedding. And then usually they'll put you – and they'll take that into consideration. Any good hotel will take that into consideration when they're doing their planning – for their reservations and their groups for the weekend. We used to have these group meetings and all the department heads would come in and the wedding coordinator would be like, listen, guys, we've got this wedding in house this weekend and they want to have a party. So I'm putting them in the suite at the far end of the building. I would not block any, I would only block their hotel guests around that room and not other mm-hmm. guests. So, I mean, there are things you can do, but I think that in this listener's case, like, I don't think it's a hotel. So I would just say go to like a bar. Like that would be the easiest thing.
Yeah. And if the venue is kind of out on its own, then pick a bar that's in the city or the town where people will be staying. It doesn't have to be right next to where people will be staying.
Yes.
And I think just consider capacity for these bars too. Like some bars are huge with a ton of different rooms and space and open air possibly, but some are really small and you wouldn't want to just go into I love a good dive bar, but you wouldn't want to go into one where you overwhelm the bartenders. I mean, Michelle talked about like calling ahead and seeing how they want to do stuff. But I also think if it's a big enough bar and your group is you know, the size of your group-ish, I love an after party that's kind of unplanned.
Yeah.
And I know that can be, that's arguable, but like some of the best after parties I've been to as a guest have just been like when the couple is like, hey, we're going over here. Who wants to come?
Yeah.
And it's just not a planned thing at all.
Yeah,
and
that's
you just
fun.
Go and the bride gets a bunch of free drinks because she's in a wedding dress with a dirty, you know, hem because it's going to be.
It's going to be filthy. Or you change.
It's going to be a dirty hem.
It's a dirty hem. You dirty hem. All right. That does it for this month's Yawa, everybody. We really appreciate all your questions and we will talk to you next week.
The Big Wedding Planning Podcast is hosted and produced by me, Christy Matthews, and Michelle Martinez. It is edited by Veronica Gruba. Music by Steph Altman of Mophonics. If you like the Big Wedding Planning Podcast, please subscribe. We are available for free on pretty much all podcast player apps. Help us get the word out by rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts.
Follow us on Instagram at the Big Wedding Planning Podcast and be sure to use the hashtag #PlanThatWedding when posting. Become part of our Facebook group. Join us and our amazing members. Just search the Big Wedding Planning Podcast community on Facebook. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at thebigweddingplanningpodcast@gmail.com or you can call and leave us a voicemail at 415-723-1622. 1-800-875-2525 and you might hear your voice on a future episode. That is it. Happy planning, everybody. Christy, love you, show.
Bye.
Bye.